Now, freak is a very weird word if you think about it. It used to refer to almost exclusively people that, through no fault of their own, just were really, really, really unlucky in terms of their appearance, their presentation. The word misbegotten might be an appropriate term here. You saw this in the early 20th century, so-called circus freaks. But I think the word freak in modern parlance in 2024 has an expanded definition, if you will. I think it means more than just looking like a freak, although, of course, that's the standard definition, the one that's persisted. When I was growing up, I never really thought of myself as a freak. An outsider, yes, somebody who didn't really fit in completely, but that's not the same thing. And it's not embarrassing for me to admit that as a child or teenager, I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be part of the cool crowd, to some degree at least. I think everyone does, at least when you're young. You don't really have a context beyond that. You only have your limited environment, and so that limited environment means a lot to you. Even as I, at the same time, had very divergent interests, things like Dungeons and Dragons and geeky stuff, and just a lot of interests that people thought were weird or freakish. But it wasn't until I became a young adult that I realized that I actually am a freak, and that my freakishness really isn't anything that was congenital in the sense that I was born with it, but rather it was made, it was manufactured. The thing is, you have the standard freak, so-called circus freaks of the early 20th century, and then you have the people over time who not only just don't fit in, but are fundamentally different in their perspectives, interests, and the way they see the world. Even in my early 20s, I would notice weird things, such as the correlations between people's appearances and their profession. Now, back then, I didn't have the words to put a finger on it because I hadn't read any articles necessarily, or any studies or publications, but I had a gut feeling. And even though I didn't have the words for things like labial nasal folds or cantal tilt or really a lot of things, I still picked up on it. It was internally something that I was aware of. Now, you could argue everyone has this internal awareness. It's how they go about, say, evaluating looks and judging these things, but it was a little bit more for me. And I think what made me, or rather what turned me into a freak, was my willingness to discuss it publicly. I didn't realize, and maybe this is due to some latent autism, which I don't think I have technically, but I didn't realize that there's certain things you cannot talk about in public. So long ago, I realized that, hey, you cannot address certain things that are probably really important to us as human beings, looks being a really good example here, because it's assumed everybody sort of knows, but you're not allowed to talk about it because then you spoil the game somehow. It's similar to what people do when they talk about status. Everyone is playing the status game amongst human apes, but nobody wants to openly talk about it. So Chad Williamson will never say, oh, I'm playing the status game. He'll come up with some other excuse to say why he's doing what he's doing. But ultimately, he's in it for the fame, money, riches, etc., etc., the status. But again, what made me freakish, I think, was my somewhat unhinged way in talking about this. Now, by unhinged, I don't mean that I was frothing at the mouth and going crazy, but I would point certain things out. And these were things you were just not allowed to point out. You know, physiognomy. But beyond that, other things. I've talked about this so many times, but it goes without saying. The differences between men and women, how they behave differently, their interests, their inclinations. And really some of the ways in which women behave towards their men in relationships, something I picked up on externally as well as internally, that people would just green light and people would just give a pass to. And it's very strange to me. Now, this is almost 30 years ago, so it's largely pre-internet. But at the time, I thought, why not call it out? I learned by doing that you're not supposed to call these things out. You're supposed to go along with it. You're supposed to just accept it. But I just was never constituted that way, so I couldn't really, until I also realized that your livelihood, your social standing, and a lot of other things that are important for your existence and survival do depend on a certain degree of conformity. Even if this conformity is not subconscious, rather, in my case, conscious by not addressing certain things. And in this way, society makes freaks of many of us. I'm sure many of you might consider yourselves freakish, Which is why I always thought the story of the first Joker film, obviously not the second, was really interesting, because it was decently different from the traditional genesis of the Joker within DC Comics. This was a guy who suffered from a lot of mental issues, but the reason why the first Joker film was such a hit is because a lot of people, especially men, could relate to it. Not necessarily because of the mental illness, but partially that too in some cases. But fundamentally, when we live in a world where you cannot call a spade, when you cannot accurately describe certain social phenomena, certain biological phenomena, then you end up feeling like a freak. Because the strange thing is everyone who's alive is conditioned to not address these things, and most of them don't, but they all operate under the surface in accordance with these principles. So you look at lookism, the halo effect, the differences between male and female behavior. In the latter case, you often get the quip by men of, women, you can't live with them, you can't live without them, this sort of thing. Over time, eventually, you're forced into a position where you simply cannot be true to yourself, and you are turned into a freak. And then the people you want to associate with are also fellow freaks, people that are, I don't want to use the word unhinged, because I don't think there's anything unhinged about describing what we observe in reality as it is. But that's kind of the situation. And over the years, every normie relationship, friendship I've had has dissolved into nothingness, because the degree of two-facedness you have to exhibit in today's world is just so extreme. I think there was much more of an excuse for it 100 years ago, even 50 years ago. But in a world with the internet, and a world where you can literally read dozens of scientific publications that will really explain in gruesome detail just how primitive and how animalistic we are, and how we operate off of these instincts and intuitions, articles, observations, and just online discourse, which sometimes is accurate and sometimes it's not, but the broad picture you can get from investigating all these sociobiological phenomena, well, it begs the question, how could you not be a quote-unquote freak these days? How could you exist and persist in this world without acknowledging the underlying reality that pervades our being, how we are? Even Chad Williamson is nominally interested. In fact, he claims to be interested in human nature, so to speak. But he still largely plays by the rules of the normies, because you kind of have to. In fact, if you look at his subscribers and the comments that people make there, they're totally normie, despite the guy's many conversations with evolutionary psychologists, geneticists, you name it. They just kind of ignore the data that's presented to them. And this shows the degree, the wall of imperviousness that has been erected around the minds of many of these people, who are very smart and capable, allegedly, but you have that compartmentalization. And that's the problem, I think, ultimately. I recently had a conversation with somebody about the nature of compartmentalization, because this person, I think not maliciously, falsely attributed intelligence, or lack thereof, to compartmentalization of knowledge and facts. For example, I think you can be really intelligent and still be a conformist normie. I think you'd be really intelligent and still be highly ideological, even in instances where your ideology clashes with reality, as you can just see it in the streets of daily life. So I think ultimately it comes down to disposition and just how you are, and of course your environment. But I think if you're curious about the world and how it works, and I brought this up before, if you faced failure in your life, then you're going to want to investigate what the root cause of that failure is, whatever it might be. But for some people, the conditioning is so great, the majority of people, so strong, and they're so incurious about things that they're not going to look at root causes, so they're not going to look at the underlying aspects of things, because that's just how they are, and that's the majority of people. And so these days, I have to say, existing in this world, trying to navigate it, I do feel like an absolute freak. I simply cannot stand your run-of-the-mill small talk conversation with people for the most part. I was in a bank meeting a couple of weeks ago. The person was trying to advise me about certain options with my account, whatever. I have to say, I felt so uncomfortable there. The ambiance, the nature of the conversation, the small talk. These days, I just prefer to get to the heart of matters. And it's interesting because back in my time, you couldn't really afford to be a freak in the same way. But let me give you an example of somebody who has willingly chosen to accept his freakishness. had a conversation with a German dude not too long ago who just flat out told me he doesn't want real life friends. And I tried to offer the pros and cons here, but he said he just can't deal with the small talk, he can't deal with the normies, so he just prefers to exist online. Now, I do think there's some downsides to that, and it's a bit premature, especially if you're in your early 20s, I think he's 23, to think that and do that, because you might be able to find people, though it's unlikely. But in today's world, you have these options. And so one choice people have made, and people think this is a terrible thing. I think it is a double-edged sword, but I don't think it's terrible, is, especially if you're young, an online existence, that your social life is conducted online. It's easier, it's more convenient, you can click on people, click them away. But more importantly, the discourse is, depending on where you are, not filtered through a bubble, per se, the way it is in real life. And the problem is, if you've existed in this real-life bubble for long enough, it's impossible to see the world any differently. So I'm increasingly becoming more amenable to the idea that, in fact, especially if you're young, an online existence isn't all that bad. The standard normie thing is, yes, go outside, do things, touch grass, and I think there's value in that. But if your nature or disposition is such that you cannot do that, and back in the day, you kind of had to force yourself to do that, the sort of adaptation on our part, the older folk. I mean, sure, you might need to work with certain people. In this guy's case, he's studying something tech, and he might be able to work at home. I think we're undergoing a speciation event right now, of sorts, culturally, but also dispositionally. And I think that's okay. Yes, I do think there's some downsides to online existence, but I don't know if they're as great as having to conform constantly to normie pressures and pretending to ignore things that you're hyper aware of that you think are important. I don't know which is worse, but I tend these days to think that better to be online in this respect than to exist in this strange circus of non-freaks where you're the freak. Anyway, as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my patrons on Patreon and my donors on PayPal. You guys are absolutely fantastic, indispensable to the channel and its existence. Thank you so much. And please hit the bell icon to be informed of my videos. I don't know, a lot of people are not checking my videos out these days. Who knows why? The algorithm works in mysterious ways. And if I'm still alive, I'll check you out next time. Until then, may the gods watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.